series In the Beginning, when I start with asking a question, and when we finish out, we're going to give us a life application. The question is this, and we'll discuss it a little bit as we go through here, and it's not really a definitive answer, but we kind of see how things are leading. What is the Sabbath? Now, we know that that's the seventh day. That's what it stands for. We actually, many of us know, you may not remember, but it's not Sunday. Sunday is the first day of the week. Actually, if we go through, Saturday is the seventh day. So we're not here honoring the Sabbath, per se. So we're going to ask this question, because this gets asked a lot. This gets really discussed throughout. Is it A, a day dedicated to rest? Is it B, a day dedicated to God? That discussion happens a whole lot of times. And some of you are going, I thought it was both. Well, maybe a little mixture of the two in there. There's actually, the best way to answer this is going to be exactly what we're going to do today, is just kind of walk through, see what the Sabbath is according to God and the Bible, how it teaches us, how we should understand and view the Sabbath, but then what does it mean to us? Once we learn that, what do I do with that? So many times people, our culture teaches us things, and then if we're not careful, we'll start to think that's what the Bible says. And it may not be what the Bible says. And it may not be exactly practicing things the way God originally intended for us to practice. And that's what I want us to look at this morning, is this whole idea of the Sabbath. So if you will, you can take your Bibles, or you can look here on the wall, or you can do both. And we're going to look at Genesis chapter number 2, verses 1 through 3. We've done chapter number 1, per se, pretty much. And now let's look at chapter number 2 and see something that God says. We've gone through a lot of the creation, and God's created man. The Bible says, now in Genesis 2, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. In other words, you got everything just created. There it is. It exists. And he says, and on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he did what? He rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Verse number 3 says, and God blessed the seventh day. And now what does he do? Yeah, let's say that together. He sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. And so as we look at that question, you know, what is the Sabbath? Is it really, should it be more focused upon rest, or more focused upon God, or how do we incorporate the rest into time with God? I've heard the argument so many times in life, not just as a pastor, but a lot of them, you know, is, well, I don't do anything on Sunday because that's a day of rest. I don't go to church. You know, I think you might be missing the point, right? you know, Sunday's a day that's just, you know, it's my day, it's my day to rest. Matter of fact, a lot of times people try to justify not doing what God wants them to do because they say it's a day of rest. Well, let's understand what that means. So that we're not justifying doing something that God didn't call us to do. And we're serving God the way that God wants us to serve. And so we'll look at a couple different things. The word rested, it means to cease or to stop. To cease or to stop. To end. It's not talking about so much taking a nap as it is just coming to an end of the work. To cease, to stop to do something. Stop from doing something. And so let's think about that for just a minute. The Bible kind of comes in and tells us that God rested on the seventh day. Let me ask you this question. Was God wore out? Was God tired? No, God's not tired, right? The Bible tells us God never slumbers nor sleeps, which means he never grows weary. He never grows tired. He doesn't get physically... I was speaking with Tammy yesterday. I asked her, I said, how did you survive? She actually, I don't know if she's ever done the 12-hour days. Have you done that before, or just something that happened? Straight. She had to work 12-hour days straight in a row. Most of the time, it's a breakup in there. She's had some really rough weeks, but that's a lot of hours straight through with a lot of mental work and physical work that goes through it, and she's the only female in the house. And so I'm sure that there are some stress and things that took place there, but I'm sure the house was neatly cleaned and cooked and everything was fine and perfectly well, and the dog even behaved himself along the way. But I asked her, I said, did you remember any of it? You know, sometimes at that much point, the physical, the mental exhaustion, in other words, we would understand the end of that, about God rested, it's not trying to describe that God got to the place and said, well, I have done 6 days worth of work. I have created everything in the universe. Boy, am I tired. You know, I'm just going to take a day and do nothing. Just a day for me. It's just a God day. You know, that's not what God's describing here when he does this. It means that he ceased. He intentionally now doesn't do any work. There's no more work to do. But Jesus does tell us that God still works. He still keeps the universe going. But there's something that God wants us to understand about this day. Is that he ceased. He intentionally did not do other things. And that's a real big point there. All right, so it means to cease or to stop. So let's look at verse number 2 again. It says, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he ceased to do anything on the seventh day. That's what it's saying there. He's telling us that that word rested means that he ceased. He ended his work. He intentionally on this day doesn't create. You know, God could have stretched it out. He could have did creation over 8 days. He could have done over 10 days. But he did over 6. And on this last day, he says, hey, this is the day I've designated. Matter of fact, a lot of people have had discussion. I thought this was interesting. We understand our months. There's 30 and 31 days in a month. Now, I said we understand that, but most of us still don't know which month has 30 and which months have 31, and none of us can explain why, except it's got something to do with the moon and the sun and the solar system and rotation or something, right? There's probably a few of you that could get up and really explain well to us, but you'd lose us somewhere along the way. But we understand, and then we understand a day. There's 24 hours. It takes 24 hours for the sun to travel around, or the earth to travel around the sun, and for us to do all this, and so there's 24 hours. We understand days, we understand months, we understand years, 365 days a year. There's a solar system for all that. No one can exactly explain why we have a 7-day week. It's not connected to a solar activity whatsoever. And so everything else kind of fits, but as they go back through and if you follow society or humanity as it goes through, every society already came with this preconceived idea. In other words, if they trace it back, it's always been there's a 7-day week. Well, where did it come from? Well, we know it came from God. And God did something very different. And that 7-day week, he's given us 6 days there that he did creation, 1 day that he ceased. And then the Bible's going to tell us something else as we look at verse number 3. And God blessed the seventh day. And then what is the next word? He sanctified it because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So what does it mean to sanctify something? It's one thing to say God sanctified it. I heard one of the preachers yesterday say, all of you that are sanctified. And of course that makes, if I was to get in here and say, how many of you are sanctified? And of course some of you are staring at me blankly for a little while. What in the world does that mean? Some would shout because you just know it's a Christian thing. We're supposed to be excited about it. But what does it mean to sanctify?
To make holy.
Okay, that's really good. But what does that mean?
Use it for God.
Okay, so I got set apart, and I got to use it for God. So when you sanctify something, you're setting it apart for God. So just think about that for a moment. When God sanctified something, he was set it apart for his own use, his own ownership, or his own purpose. Matter of fact, one writer said it well. It basically comes down setting aside people, places, things, into some special relationship with God. God goes through with the nation of Israel, and he actually will tell them at different times. He said, all the firstborn you'll sanctify, they belong to me. And he'll take all of the priests, the tribe of Levi, said, they belong to me. They are set apart. And when God said, sanctify the priests, sanctify them, what were they doing? They were doing a service unto God. They weren't to the priests. Their job was not to go out and go to war. Their job was to what? It was to serve God in the temple. It was a spiritual act of worship in some way that they were operating on behalf of God to the people and on behalf of people to God. He would say, sometimes you're going to set aside a certain day. Sometimes God would say, you're going to set aside a certain percent of everything that I gave you. We call that a tithe. Sometimes God would say, you're going to set aside certain vessels. When people came and they donated the gold, the silver, the brass, the curtains, the linen, for the building of God's work, they sanctified that. They set aside what they had and dedicated it specifically for no other use than the use of God and His service and His work and His worship. And when something was sanctified, it was set apart, given over. And it was not for common use. It was not for ordinary use. Matter of fact, one of the ways to get in trouble when the Israelites get in trouble very easily, they take something that was sanctified or set apart for God and use it for their own purpose or their own wants. And they got in trouble really quick with God. And so as it's starting to kind of come together, we're starting to see that there's a ceasing. It's not about taking a nap. You know, there's a whole lot of people like, we did what God wanted us to do. We took a nap on Sunday. God told us to rest, and we're taking a nap, and that's not what He said. Matter of fact, he does something very amazing. He says, I want you to sanctify this day. So He's going to give 6 days that are given unto man for his needs and his necessities. But God, in the very beginning, sometimes we forget that God didn't do this just at one place. Matter of fact, let's look in Exodus chapter number 20. This is the giving of the law, the commandment. Ten Commandments. Y'all remember the Ten Commandments, right? That's the fourth commandment comes in place, and it says, remember the what? The Sabbath day. To do what? Keep it holy. Then He says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all what? Thy work. But when He goes to the next, He says, but the seventh day. So notice what He's already done there with that word but. He said, in 6 days, you're to labor. You're to do all of your work, all of your things that need to be done, are to fit within what?
6 days.
Those 6 days. Then there's this word, a conjunction, it says, but. But there's another day. The seventh day is the Sabbath of whom? The Lord thy God. It really does away with people saying, Sunday is the only day I have to, there's no way to end that statement except to serve God. Biblically, that's the only way. Now, I get it. I understand that sometimes you may be in a situation where something happens. I mean, if your plumbing went bad last night, you're probably not going to get up and say, well, it's Sunday. We're just going to sit here and do nothing. You know, we get that. But to schedule out ahead of time, Sunday, just for another purpose, could start to be infringing on the day that God said it belongs to you. And there's a lot of different ways that we want to look at that. But He says, on the seventh day, the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, in it thou shalt not do any work. In other words, you shall cease. It's intentional. You will intentionally do your work, your labor here, but you will intentionally cease or stop or not do that. Now, don't get the idea of just work. Like, oh, what can we do? Can I cook? That's not the idea. The idea is you will take care of your needs these days. On this day, you will primarily be focused upon God. Matter of fact, when God gave the manna, you know, they had to eat. They only got the manna 6 days a week. On the seventh day and only on the sixth day, and only on the sixth day, they were to do what? Get a double portion of that, enough for the next day. Why? Because God says on the seventh day, you're not going to go out and collect it. I'm not going to have you go out and collect it on the seventh day, so you need to get it ready, prepare. Everything you need for yourself needs to be done ahead of time. Plan it, is what He's saying. Matter of fact, when He first did it, some of them just didn't plan on the sixth day, probably. They didn't have anything to eat on the seventh day. And God was very upset. What He's saying is, make your plans, arrange it so that there is a day that is mine. Notice what else He says. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. Verse number 11 says, it gives now. We're several years, we're a long time, we're hundreds of years now from creation. God's giving the law to Israel, and He's saying to this nation, I want you to give me this special day. He He's already sanctified that day, what? Back at creation. Matter of fact, it kind of gives us the idea that Adam and Eve are to recognize this day very differently than any other day of the week. So it's not new entirely here, but he's given this specifically to them as a sign, a memorial to them. He says, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. So he links it back. When he gives the commandments to Israel, he links this command back to creation and the creation week. And when God originally sanctified, he's not setting this day apart at the giving of the commandments. He's already set that day apart. He's telling them what? Remember it. Continue to keep it. Don't stop that. Notice what he did not say. Did anyone notice what he did not say in those verses? Or there's a lot he didn't say. But did anything stand out that he did not say? That a lot of people get confused with the Sabbath day. Do what?
Rest.
He didn't say take a nap. I'm not saying it's wrong to take a nap on Sunday. That's not my point. My point is the Sabbath is not set aside just for napping and resting. In other words, there's an effort that we are to give to God. When we say, oh, I stayed home. I didn't come to church because Sunday's a day of rest, and that's what God wanted me to do. Well, no, you missed it. God said, give me this day that you stop, cease all other things that can be ceased, so that you can focus now and dedicate now this time to me. That's the purpose. He doesn't just say, now I think there's principles, and I think God created our bodies and knows how to, that they should function. Thank God understands that when our bodies are pushed beyond a reasonable limit of labor, that they begin to break down. I believe there's a principle that when we will set aside a time, a day, and dedicate that day to God, then our bodies will be refreshed physically and mentally and spiritually. But it's not just so much about us as it is about God and setting it aside. Now let me cover a couple of things before we get people really confused and anyone gets uncomfortable. There are some things in life that cannot cease on the Sabbath day. I am very grateful that men got up this morning and put on a fire department uniform and are ready to put out a fire. I would really hate to call 911 and report a fire at my home or my church or yours and they say, I'm sorry, did you not realize this is Sunday? We did not work on Sunday. All of our firemen are taking naps. I'm glad that there are men and women who got up and they put on a blue uniform and a badge and they went into work today, because I would sure hate to think that we would call 911 because a store or a house or a home is being robbed and they say, I'm sorry, all of our officers are taking naps today because it is the Sabbath day, or we're honoring the Sabbath day. I'm glad there's men and women that put on their uniform to go into a hospital so that when our emergencies come or the people that's in there, I would surely hate to be in the hospital on a Saturday and all the nurses come and say, now I'll be back on Monday. Can't you just tell the women they cannot have a baby on Sunday because that's the day of rest and all the nurses are taking a nap? No, those are things that have to be done. God's a very reasonable person. What then can we do in those situations? We can still recognize the principle that God set aside. And in that principle, he says, there's, of all of your time that you get in a week, there needs to be time that you intentionally set aside for me. It's mine. In fact, I believe that a lot of Christians feel that they have committed or they have fulfilled their obligation of the Sabbath if they do two things. If they get up and force themselves through church and they take a nap. And some do it at the same time. Just cover it all, get it all over in one time. Let's go to church, take a nap, then we really covered all the bases and everything. Let's say you get to church for Sunday school, you get here, let's say you're really excited about it, you got here at 9:30. And the preaching really got good, and you stayed in fellowship with people till 12:30. go get up on a Sunday, get our Bible, and read for 24 hours. Or get on our knees and pray for 24 hours. What I am saying is, God set aside this day. He said, this day is mine. I want you to intentionally set aside other stuff. So that you acknowledge me as creator, as God, as the sovereign of your week. Of all the time that you have. And you do that by giving back to me this time. There's lots of ways you can do it. One, I do believe that y'all be God called us to a corporate worship, a fellowship of coming together into the house of God. I believe that. I believe that's biblical. I believe you can find all through the Bible. Matter of fact, there is a time in the Bible he speaks to Israel, talks about the assembly that takes place on the Sabbath day, the worship. There's a psalm of the Sabbath that talks about the singing in the morning, the singing in the evening, the worshiping and praising God. Somewhere in our busyness and our hecticness, there needs to be a day. And we don't do the Sabbath. So if your day, your schedule is very different than the average person, and you have to come up on a Thursday and say, you know what, the way everything is, I know that I can carve out some time on my Thursday that I'm just going to set aside everything else, whether it's social media, whether it's work, whether it's hobbies, whether it's anything else that has to be done, even housework, all this. I'm going to set aside some time. I'm going to read. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to spend a lot of that time thinking about God. Then I believe there's some other things. I believe we serve God when we serve others. One of the things that we had said, that we ceased our Sunday night services. That was something we kind of come to a conclusion to. And we said, let's take some time on Sundays to serve other people. Let's visit our shut-ins. And let's make, if you're going to send cards, at least take some time on Sunday to get them addressed and ready. And you can mail them on Monday. Let's take some time on this Sunday that we're not going to come back together and corporately worship, but we can do something. Families can come together and say, hey, look, we're going to read a little bit of scripture and talk about something today. Or focus on God. And what it does is acknowledging God, your creator. And you've given us this day. We might take a walk with our children today. We might ride our bikes. We're going to make sure that in this we're acknowledging you in some way. We're going to take, there's all sorts of times. There's things that you'd love to teach your children about the word of God. Take some time. Intentionally. What he's saying is, cease. Intentionally set aside other things. Matter of fact, I'm going to share a few things with you. This is not the feel-good type that you would hear in some places. Notice this. In Isaiah chapter number 58, God is speaking to the nation of Israel, and he's telling them, he said, you know, when you get everything haywire, when you've really messed up everything, if you'll turn back to me, I'll turn back to you. And he's saying in this chapter, if you'll put your life in order and structure it the right way, you'll see blessing where everything has been falling apart. Everything you try to do just seems to get worse instead of better. He said, there's a way to fix all of that. And at the very close of that, he says in verse 13, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy what? From doing thy pleasure on what? Emphasize the on my holiday. That's what God said. If you will turn away your foot, in other words, change direction, if you'll step away from doing your pleasure on my holiday. In other words, what he's saying is, God doesn't care if you enjoy yourself today. That's not the point. He cares when you put your priorities above his today. And he says, if you'll turn from that, from doing thy pleasure, my holiday, and call the Sabbath a delight. I like that. If you'll start to fall in love with the Sabbath, instead of drudgery. I know nobody wants to sit around in the house and argue, well, this is coming up and it's on Sunday, but should we do it? Should we not do it? How? You don't want to have to drag your kids here because, you know, I don't know, they wanted to go here, but I made them come to church anyway. Make it a delight. He said, you make it a delight that the holy of the Lord honor me. What's the holy of the Lord honor me? It's today. Make it a delight. Make it holy. Make it honorable. He said, the Lord shall honor him. doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. He says in verse number 14, then. In other words, if you will do this, if you'll give me this day, and you'll make it a delight, you'll enjoy, you'll find pleasure, and you'll recognize that I'm worthy of this. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. What God is doing in this place, he's saying, hey, if you want to get your life straightened out, if you want the mess and the hecticness and the pull and the just surviving and just trying to breathe, he said, you really want to fix that? He says, give me my day back. Make it about me. Stop trying to do it yourself. Stop taking my day to do it. And as I said, the principle of this falls. You may have to do that on another day because of the things that cannot be avoided. But God's saying, do not intentionally plan things on my day to take you away from remembering, honoring, and serving me. Throughout the day. Throughout this day, find a way to think about God, honor God, teach your family, teach your children, talk about God. Take a fast. You know, the Bible associates the Sabbath a lot with fast, things that they do not do. I'm just throwing things out there. I'm not saying that this is your unbiblical or unchristian to do this, but if you don't do it, you can come along and I'll just get the kids mad at me first. You come along and say, you know what, on Sundays, here's what we're going to do. We're going to change things. We're not going to have a lot of technology on Sunday. We're not going to do social media. We're not going to do video. Only about family and God. We'll find a way to spend time together. God's put us together. We'll make that be tough on the whole family. Matter of fact, you probably have to spend the first month doing that, just praying that you don't kill each other. Praying your kids won't hate you for the rest of their life. Praying you don't go to jail for some kind of weird law of torturing your children by taking the video games away from them that you gave them. We're not going to get caught up. We're not going to push ourselves. We're going to trust that God will get this work done that needs to be done. We're not going to sit around and stress and try to prepare. You know, we stressed all week. We don't have today. We're going to take a fast from that. We're going to start thinking about God who can fix it. And that's the rest that God's speaking about. Intentionally setting aside other things and saying, this is about you, God. Today's make about God while you make about family. You can make about God while you make about service. You can make about God while you do a lot of things. But somehow the devil has robbed God of that day through God's people to where we stress to get here. We're so overwhelmed by the time we get here that preachers like myself are trying hard to get your attention and help you get something from God, and you're just trying to get through it. By now, your stomach is growling, and you just want to get out of here. And you leave, and before you get down the road, you're frustrated about where you're going and what you're doing. And the whole day, God's got like 10 minutes of your time and your attention and your attitude. Sunday could be a day you say, today, I don't know how this works in church. This really messed churches up. God, on Sundays, we're not going to come and ask for things. All day on Sunday, the only prayer I'll have is prayer of gratitude, thankfulness, and praise, and acknowledgement. Well, that'd mess up a lot of it. We wouldn't know how to ever get a prayer request call, so we'd have to email me on Mondays. But you understand what I'm saying? So, I might share that at church, but I'm also going to go to church and I'm going to share what God's done and what God's doing. That's the Sabbath that God wants. When God set aside that day, he's saying, I'm sanctifying this day, it's mine. And you will honor me with this day. I will honor you and I will help you through everything that you got to do through in those 6 days. If you had something to get done and something to do and oh, this is the only day I got to do it, and I came along and I said, I'll tell you what, if you wait till tomorrow, I I'll give you my time, my effort, and I will get some group, and we'll get this done tomorrow, and we'll make sure it's done, and you'll just put it off to tomorrow. And you probably say, well, I like that idea. That's kind of what God's trying to say. Why don't you just spend time with me today, and I'll spend time with you this week, and help you get done this day. Heads bowed and eyes closed.
Heavenly Father,